Well, that sucked. It was a fun game, but it was a painful game. Sounds like Yankees baseball right now. The offense is actually playing better than giving credit for. The bullpen is showing their hand, and we're going to talk about it, Gary. I'm actually really excited about this episode. I've been thinking about this all day. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July. Everyone stayed safe and all of that good stuff. Had some good food, right? But Gary, I'm excited because we get a chance to talk about Jason Dominguez, who I told you I was very high on going into this game. So we're going to be talking about Jason Dominguez to start off here. We're also going to be talking about Anthony Volpe, and we're going to be talking about the bullpen. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but we're going to get in the bullpen pretty in depth, I would say. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the Yankees and mainly Brian Cashman's idea of going out and finding bullpen guys is starting to pile on them. I know you saw my text about Luke Weaver. I'm going to bring the heat tonight. So anyway, let's start off on the good, right? The good was that Jason Dominguez, I think, is starting to emerge as a star, a young star, and it's very, very early, right? When I say emerge, I'm not saying he's already one of the best players in the league. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for the first time in his career, I'm starting to look at him as a franchise player, like at the beginning of that ascension. Yeah, he's at like the very beginning.
We can probably circle this player and say he's going to be great at some point. It's just a matter of when. And there aren't really many players in baseball you can say that about. There's just not. So now I think people want to know what happens. Like, what, Jake, what's next? Like, you predicted this, right? You said that I think this game, especially with the matchup of Yeagerman Jensen pitching to the Mets. I know it's not his real name, but we sort of knew. Man. Jason Dominguez, he should have played today, right? You got to find a way to do that. He's the hot bat in this lineup. He and Jazz, obviously what Judge is doing, what Bellinger's doing. But we wanted to see what the 22-year-old could do, and we saw it, right? You saw that. You saw a really bad defense, and you saw electric offense. That's who he is, and that's what we're going to be paying him a lot of money down the road to do. So people want to know what's going to happen a day from now, a week from now. What's Aaron Boone going to do with this? Because Aaron Boone's shown that it's a great problem to have a great player play well today and then say, I've got three other options that can play and give me quality baseball. And that player just yesterday, who you were saying was giving you great output, you're okay sitting him down. Why? Because you think you have these three good options on the side. Is he going to allow Jason Dominguez to step into the role that Jake, you're mentioning? He's an emerging star, not a star yet, but he's certainly showing those qualities on the field. Is Aaron Boone going to allow him to do that? And I would tell you, I genuinely want our audience to hesitate as to what Boone's going to do. I do. If you're going to think, and certainly I would assume most people are worried. They feel like Jason Dominguez can do anything and he'll still somehow, some way find himself on the bench this week. But, Jake, I'm curious what you think. Do you believe that Jason Dominguez has shown enough, especially at the top of the lineup? He led off today. Do you believe Aaron Boone has it in him, right, to ignore maybe the analytics, maybe any of the suits behind him who potentially could be steering him in another direction? Do you think he essentially has the balls to play Jason Dominguez tomorrow and the next day?
Booney, don't burn me here. I'm going to give Boone the benefit of the doubt here. I think at some point or another, you cross a threshold and you just can't sit the player. And I think Jason Dominguez at age 22 is doing way too much on a team that they need all the offense they can get. They scored 5 runs today. That should have been enough to win the game. I do think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow against Frankie Montas. I think this is your leadoff hitter. Point blank, period. Okay. Switch hitter can go up against anybody, lefty, righty. They kept talking about how they trust him as a right-hander. I'm not quite there yet, but I've seen some good things where I'll hear you out, right? But he has got to be the leadoff hitter. He makes way too much sense. And honestly, for the first time since Judge's ever bad second, I've actually been okay with Judge batting second as long as Dominguez is batting ahead of him. Now, I understand the irony there. Dominguez swings at a 3-1 pitch, low in the zone, probably should have taken it.
Yeah,
then he would have gotten it. Yeah, I did not love that. You have Judge behind you, but I think he knows how to hit in front of Judge. You know, that spot sucked, but I think today, I don't want to take anything away from his day. He's a big reason why the New York Yankees almost won this game. And to me, I think those two are a great combo. And I'm not actually saying that I want Judge to bat second, but I'm saying if he's going to bat second, I'm okay with it as long as Jason Dominguez is leading off. I thought those two were a great tandem. You've seen what Jazz can do. I wouldn't mind having Jazz, even though, you know, the lefty righty and all of that, you want to have the first four in your lineup, and you're telling me you get Dominguez, Judge, Bellinger, and Jazz. Lefty righty be damned. Those are your four best hitters right now. Okay. Love Ben Rice, right? I mean, he came in, pinch hit, he had a high drive to the wall. That sounds like Ben Rice. But as far as like the numbers concerned, Bellinger is one of the best hitters on this team. I texted you, I think he's incredibly underrated. Dominguez is statistically one of the best hitters on this team, now hitting 271, an OPS that is getting closer to 800.
Now
Aaron Judge. Yeah, Aaron Judge is the best hitter on the team. He's the best hitter in baseball. And then Jazz Chisholm, who's hitting 244, and he's constantly hitting home runs. He's slugging. So look, those are your four best hitters, right? That is how I would do it. Here's the thing. Jason Dominguez, like you mentioned, had a, well, they said it was a 99% catch percent. I don't know if it was 99. I don't understand the percentages.
I probably would give, I think anyone should have caught that ball.
I agree.
By the way, you're mentioning Jason Dominguez. You're actually, so here's the concept that you're actually proposing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You stack, who are your top five guys? Like, who are your must plays? And those guys should all play, right?
Yeah.
They get days off in between at some point, right?
Absolutely.
Physically, you do this. But you're essentially introducing the concept. And by the way, we've talked about this concept for years now. Why would your top five hitters not always find their way in the lineup? That's common sense and common knowledge. Unless you have someone who's Ozzie Smith with the glove in your dugout, there's no reason that your top five or six guys in your lineup don't play every single day. And here, I want everyone to follow me here. Jason Dominguez, right this second, has now eclipsed into that conversation. He is now entered into that exact conversation. Jason Dominguez is now probably a top four bat that we've got going on. And yet, what you're really saying, when you're mentioning leadoff, I see our chat mentioning leadoff, loving Jason Dominguez at the top of the lineup. Not a ton of power, right? But you saw the two, you saw the home runs today. That's great. But with this season, we mentioned leadoff because he doesn't need a slug in that spot. But what you're really saying is that Trent Grisham, who's batting over 330 his last seven games, right? All of these numbers, the last 15 games, he's hitting 283 and he's slugging, right? And so Aaron Boone has to ignore these numbers because of what could be with Jason Dominguez, what he currently is, what we're getting in output from Dominguez. And that is what the Yankees so far have failed at. That's what they're failing at this season. They don't seem to understand that somebody on your bench may be giving you high output, but you still have the decision to make to be proactive and play your best players. We don't do that. We just do not. So that's where I'm at. I love the concept that Jason Dominguez should play every day. I think we can all agree he should. But the Yankees continue to beat the drum and say that health is more important. The reason we want to play Grisham, the reason we want to rotate guys, right? Stanton out of lineup. He hits a home run 2 days ago. He sits the next day. The reason for this, the Yankees are prioritizing health. And if you do this, you're going to significantly work to Jason Dominguez's detriment. You are going to kill any momentum this kid builds. I hope, and mind you, I'm rooting for Aaron Boone to do the right thing here. But based on recent history, and history from a while now of Aaron Boone, he hasn't shown he can make that decision. So I'm in wait and see mode. I'm not going to be negative and say it won't happen. I'm going to tell you guys what should happen in my opinion, and then we're going to see tomorrow what happens.
I think Stanton, by the way, in this, because I understand what Michael Kay was saying. I'm actually changing my view on this.
Okay.
I don't think Stanton should play every day. If we want him to make it to October, I don't think he should play every day. I understand how that sounds. Wait, you're telling me you've constantly been banging the drum that these guys need to stay in the lineup to be consistent? Yes, I have. But I've also said that there are players that are just can be fine when you take them off the field and put them back on it. Those players are more than likely going to be veterans that have done this before, been there, done this. This is no new rodeo for Stanton. Stanton has been taken off the field. He's been given, you know, days off. I think it's very simple. Today, Stanton played. Trent Grisham didn't. Trent Grisham, by the way, because I don't want to, like, undersell Trent Grisham. I'm trying to sell high on him. I'm trying to trade him because I believe he's actually one of the best hitters on this team. Their problem is they need to reallocate one of the best hitters on this team when all of their best hitters are in the outfield right now. That's what we're talking about. And then you have Jazz Chisholm at third, who's not even playing the position that they want him to play. So right now, their best hitters are essentially all overlapping. And that's where I feel like, you know, for the time being, if you're not going to trade Trent Grisham, you're going to need to do this. And I actually think it works out because with Judge, you don't give him the full day off. But Judge takes the DH role. You keep Bellinger in there. Bellinger moves to right field. Grisham plays left. And I would have Jason Dominguez taking reps in center. That's what I would be doing.
And you're not going to consider Jason, because Jason Dominguez is atrocious defensively, right? Mm-hmm. And I get the concept. He's a really bad defender, but he's 22 years old. Technically yep. speaking, it can get better. However, people also can make the argument that Jason Dominguez could just be our DH and lead off. And now you have Trent Grisham in the outfield. You have Cody Bellinger in the outfield. You have Aaron Judge in his home position in right field in the outfield. Can we possibly protect his health having him DH? Sure, but at the same time, Aaron Judge has shown he can stay healthy, at least out in right field and just being a little bit more careful. But I understand what you're saying because Dominguez in left field, it's not what they were selling us. They told us the defense wasn't bad, but that defense, Jake, that they mentioned, it wasn't in left. It was in center.
I just think, yeah, I mean, I want to give you a ton of credit because I don't feel like anybody ever talks about the, and I understand, you know, right now we're at Citi Field, but the nuanced details of playing left field at Yankee Stadium, nobody talks about the way you do. So there is attention to detail there that I think is left out by a lot of people because I was one of those people last year. I was saying, why is Juan Soto not playing left field? And you're like, well, it's very easy. Juan Soto is playing right field because it's the easiest thing, and he's not a good defender. He should not play left field, and that is what the Yankees are essentially saying. On top of it, when you play right field, whether Juan Soto knows why or not, it's a premier position. Like, Vladimir Guerrero played right field, right? Your dad played right field. Right field is Aaron Judge. Like, right fielders get a lot more praise than left fielders do. So
yeah, that's true.
Juan Soto probably doesn't even know that they put him over there because he's not a good defender and they wanted to keep
maybe
him away
does,
from left
maybe
field.
Maybe he doesn't, like you said, but what is it really? As long as you're getting the results, right?
Because yes.
If Juan Soto was in right for us, the analytics would show he's okay out there. He's not going to be great, right? I know people were saying, oh, we got some votes and Gold Glove. The Gold Glove doesn't mean a rip to me.
No.
It really doesn't. Because then the next year you guys are telling me about defensive run save and the guy's a -6. So if Juan Soto for the Yankees was playing left field last year, you guys have been complaining all year, and rightfully so. It's a ton of ground. It is. So,
yes.
Yeah, is Jason Dominguez going to suddenly be serviceable in left field defensively? Probably not. This is something that if best case scenario, it takes a while, and then he becomes league average over there, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But the key thing here is offense. And DeAce Avenue with the 5 says playing Grisham at the detriment of JD is like playing DJ at second to the detriment of Jazz. This is a problem the Yankees are always doing. It's crazy. So what it tells us, and DeAce, thank you for getting involved in supporting our channel.
Appreciate
thank you for the
you.
5. What I want like people to too. Understand, this is great. This isn't personal. This has nothing to do with whether or not Boone believes in Jason Dominguez. This is a conversation about Trent Grisham. That's all it's about. And if the Yankees could get creative and proactive, Michael Kay brings up a great point, because Giancarlo Stanton is intertwined in this entire conversation as well. It's really about Stanton and Grisham. Stanton, and Michael Kay brings it up, has to play every day. Why? Because in October, they feel like if they pull him off the field and give us Grisham, Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge, outfield DH, if they do this, they feel like they're jeopardizing his ability to get hot when it matters. But you know one thing, though? DeAce and Jake, everyone I'm speaking to right now, if you play around with this situation and you don't put the best players on the field, the players who are earning it, if you don't do that, you're playing with your food and you find yourself in third place right now. You don't have time to be screwing around. You just don't. So I want to respect what Giancarlo's done. I expect him to play well if we make it into October baseball. I still expect us somehow, some way to be in the postseason. But having said all this, there's no way that you can make incorrect decisions in the infield. What you're doing at third base, what you're doing at second base, who's catching, who's playing first base today, and who's playing that's hot or ice cold. If you're making 5 to 6 different decisions in the field we can all deem as incorrect, how can you look up at the end of the year and say we did the best we could do? This right now, it's just not. I believe, Jake, this concept that DeAce brings up is the reason why this team is streaky. We don't have any concept as to trust in what Aaron Boone's going to do with this choice. This is an easy choice. Jason Dominguez, starting tomorrow, should be an everyday player for the Yankees. And if he doesn't perform over the next several weeks, you make a regression on that choice and you put somebody else out on the field. But there's no reason why a 22-year-old can show you this ceiling and you say, hey, man, thanks for doing that. We're going to have Grisham and Bellinger go out for you. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Just like complaining that I'm wearing a tank top at 2:25 a.m.
Who Rich, cares? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th,
brother.
Anyway, I want to segue to Jason Dominguez and why we're going to talk about Anthony Volpe. Because I had the realization today that the better Jason Dominguez does, the more pressure that's going to be on Anthony Volpe. And I don't mean that to like
interesting.
Be, yes, I don't necessarily mean like Anthony Volpe himself. I actually mean the Yankees looking at Anthony Volpe. Think about this, okay? When I was watching today's game and I'm watching Jason Dominguez, who has not hit a home run in 30 games. Thank you for making me look like a genius. He hits 2 today, and not just any 2, Oppo. Both of them showing off power. What I noticed was a player who's really starting to emerge as a star. And again, it's at the very beginning. He's 22. But Volpe has shown this before for a month. A month. It has not gone into July like this. He has not looked like this ever. He just hasn't. So with that said, Volpe's 24. Volpe got... And I want to give a ton of credit to Aaron Boone. Ton of credit. He
pinch hit
Anthony Volpe today.
Yeah.
And put the best player in at the best time. And that was Trent Grisham. And I understand he hit a soft line drive to the left fielder and it didn't amount to anything. But make no mistake about it. Actions speak louder than words. And I told you, I don't care what words are being said in the postgame. I don't care. When it plays because I forgot to turn off the app.
And what did you say about happens. The graphic, by the way? Certainly others have heard it, but can you repeat what you said? Because I didn't know this until you told me.
So this is wild. I actually feel like the Yankees are phasing Volpe out slowly but surely, or at least preparing to phase him
out. Okay.
There is a thing where you have a player who you generate. There's like a process. You generate a lot of interest behind. You start marketing, you start developing. But if that player does tend to fall off, because the Yankees are a business too, keep this in mind, they have contingency plans. We've already seen this, because if you haven't been paying attention, the Yes Network intro has taken Anthony Volpe out of the intro entirely and has replaced him.
Caleb Durbin. This reminds me of the Caleb Durbin situation.
Replaced him with Jazz Chisholm. No. This reminds me of what was the player? Was it Jimmy Butler? And then he got, before he got traded, and like mm-hmm. then he got traded the next day. Everyone's like, well, it's kind of weird. I think somebody talked about like he had a poster on like the arena, and someone saw that they were taking down the poster, and then he got okay. traded the next day.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that
the organization, they know what's going on. Now, mind you, we have to look at this from a technical point of view, because technically we yeah. have no idea what they're going to do with Volpe.
No, we have no idea.
They clearly love the player. They love the player. This was their mm-hmm. guy, right? He was their guy. And this isn't, it's not like this is a, we're not, they're not dating, but you can make a decision, say, hey, that prospect over there, everyone can say what they want about all these other guys. That's our guy. All those top shortstops that you guys wanted. Yeah, we want them too, but it's not going to overlap what we're doing with this kid. Those guys are super expensive. We'll spend that money elsewhere. We want this kid to succeed. We're going to hang on to him. No Luis Castillo, this guy. Okay. Well, we can't wait to see what you're going to provide. He mm-hmm. shows up. He's 22 years old, 21, 22. And obviously it's 200. They tell us, well, the bat's going to catch up. Don't worry about it. But you see the glove. So this thing's going to start to materialize. You go into year two. The bat really didn't get much better. It didn't. And so you sort of look at it and say, well, he's got speed. He doesn't have an arm. He's got a solid glove. But then hold on a second, Jake. We go into year three. And mind you, arbitration's 1 year away, right? He's not going to get $30 million. It's probably something like three or four. But having said that, when arbitration starts to sneak up, decisions start to happen. You may have had this understanding that Anthony Volpe was going to be this, and he ended up being that. But the thing is that fans have a completely different perspective on this player than the front office. They just do. The front office may lie about what they think or be delusional about what they think. But you know, Jake, when that delusion stops, when their wallets have to come out, when all of a sudden you're no longer paying that guy that you keep telling us that you believe in, you're no longer paying him $800,000. $800,000 sounds like a lot of money. If me and you as podcasters were making that type of money, we'd think we were rich. But you know what? As a Major League Baseball player for the New York Yankees, a billion-dollar corporation, $800,000 salary is a drop in the bucket. It's absolutely nothing. But when arbitration's coming up, you're going to find out what the Yankees really think about this player. So I'm probably not going to look into the graphics and all that stuff, or Boone pinch hitting for him with Grisham. I think that's Boone just sort of waking up to how bad this really is, which is a good thing. So yes, let's acknowledge it as exactly that. At least we can acknowledge we have a problem. Anthony Volpe, the untouchable prospect, had to be taken off the field today in order for the Yankees to have the best opportunity to score a run. That should tell you everything you need to know about the Yankees shortstop, and this is not personal. I really like the kid. I want it to work. Do I think it will? No, I don't, unless there is a significant and aggressive overhaul that I don't see coming.
I agree. The OPS is now below 700, so it's bad. It's not good right now. And, you know, I'm in the business, just like you, of winning. I'm in the business of having the best players on the field at, you know, the allotted times. And Anthony Volpe is not one of the best nine players on this team. He's not. And the offense isn't the issue right now. It's not. They keep scoring, and the bullpen keeps blowing it. So we're going to get to the bullpen. But I thought it made sense to explain how Jason Dominguez, doing what he's doing, could actually have an effect here, a domino effect. And this could be what the Yankees need to finally have a guy other than Aaron Judge come through the farm system, really emerge as something, and now he sets the standard. Because I'm sorry, if Dominguez comes out and now he's one of your top players, like he looks amazing, what is that going to mean for guys like Anthony Volpe? They're going to, you know, take a second look at these guys and be like, you know what, maybe he needs a little bit more time in AAA, or maybe he doesn't need time. We need to call him up. I think this could have great impact on this organization. So obviously Jason Dominguez, what he provides on the field is a no-brainer, but what he provides on the field and what he provides as far as influence on the organization, I would not scoff at that. I think that's a real thing. So I hope he continues to do what he's doing.
Jake, and do you know what I thought of today for the first time ever? And mind you,
wow, we just had epiphanies really, left and right.
It's an epiphany. It actually just hit me. It finally hit me, guys. What bothered me so much about this Anthony Volpe thing is that if he did something good, it was overdone, right? It's fixed. He's great, right? And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, all right, well, let's do it for a couple weeks. But then all of a sudden, he'd fall right back on his behind. And then I'd say, well, is that the player you're talking about? And they go, what are you criticizing? Why is it so personal? And the reason it actually hit me is that it was age related. Anthony Volpe, before this Jason Dominguez thing happened, was perceived as this young kid. They call him a kid. They still call him a kid. He's 24 years old, right? This is not a kid. It's a grown man. And anytime there was criticism, there was always the caveat and always the cop-out that he is so young. There's so much room. There's so much blank canvas. There isn't. And you know who reminded us that there isn't? Jason Dominguez.
Exactly.
When 22-year-olds come up into the big leagues, the Yankees, for whatever reason, look at young players, anyone 23 and under, 24 and under, they look at them like they're not physically or mentally capable to do what the veterans do as far as output goes. They're just not capable. They are, Jake. They absolutely are. 21 and 22-year-old players make impacts in Major League Baseball every year, all the time. It's not unprecedented. When Juan Soto is hitting home runs, I've mentioned this before, at 20 years old in the World Series, yeah, that's unprecedented. But getting an output, a real positive output in the regular season from a 22-year-old, and you're going to act like it's witchcraft? It's not. Jason Dominguez is just prepared to hit Major League pitching. He is. And Anthony Volpe, at 24 years old, we should be able to assume that it's not a matter of youth. It's a matter of skill set or development. Take your pick. Whatever you want to say the problem is here, one of the two is completely screwed up. And we're watching a 24-year-old grown man that is failing. And the Yankees don't have a cop-out. There's no savior. There's no easy trade. That guy's way better than Volpe, so let's bring him in. Can the Yankees technically upgrade at shortstop this offseason or at the deadline? Certainly. They probably can make a trade, and the Yankees can say in 2025 we're probably better. But there's no real home run, obvious replacement. So the Yankees right now, and Yankees fans, have to watch this and say, how far can a team go when your worst player on your roster is your starting shortstop? How far can you go?
This is why I'm saying you got to try Jazlyn short. He played third and never had experience there, ever. And he was a +8 last year. This year he's struggling. But I'm telling you, if he was playing shortstop, and I would suck it up with the errors. I don't think he'd be worse than he is at third. I don't. And if I'm at least getting decent production at short, now I can justify, okay, that box is checked. I can bring in.
What if actually Jazz? Because here's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't even care.
How do you actually look at Volpe? He's a negative glove. He's a negative arm. He's been thrown out 7 times stealing. He's not stolen more than 10 bases.
Yeah.
So he's a negative on the base pass, right? He's not hitting. So when people tell me, well, we don't have somebody else to play shortstop, I sort of agree with you, Jake. Would I put Jazz over there? Probably not. But having said that, any person you put over at short and you tell me, well, his glove's not as good as Volpe's. Well, yeah, but he also can hit a lick. So if I'm talking about overall value, a guy might be a really bad defender and the guy he's replacing was a good defender. But if the guy who was a great defender couldn't hit a lick, maybe I still got better here. And so that's the decision I think the Yankees have with Volpe. I don't think they make it. I think he plays all year. And then this offseason, I think the Yankees are going to surprise you guys. I do. I don't think Anthony Volpe's seat is safe whatsoever, because now this project, if this project goes any further left, it couldn't look worse for Brian Cashman. It couldn't look worse for Boone. And I think the Yankees, while they are somewhat delusional, right, in their decisions and 2 feet in the sand, they love to just marry their decisions. This decision is costing the team games, and I don't think they can play with that.
Yeah. July 4th, 2022, Anthony Volpe was the same age as Jason Dominguez. Volpe was batting .222. With a .687 OPS. He's batting .222 right now in 2025, 3 years later, mm-hmm. with a .696 OPS.
Can I ask you, what is he better at today? And mind you, it is very difficult, very, mm-hmm. to look at a 22-year-old baseball player, and mind you, he's no longer 22, in his rookie year, you say, okay, 21, 22, he yeah. gave you what you saw what he did, right? Everything, the positives and the negatives. And then 3 years later, right, with playing time, plenty of runway to get better, sharpen your tools, no pressure. Can you locate a single thing in 2025 that Anthony Volpe is better at than he was in 2022?
He's got more RBIs.
He's got more RBIs.
Because I know, because they're always saying, well, oh, he's got 46 RBIs and he's the eighth hitter. I'm like, well, you know, that's all Austin fine and
Wells,
dandy. But
Austin Wells has RBIs and people yeah. complain about him every single day. Every yeah, single day.
It's not. And then you look at, like, a good example is last year, right? So last year, Anthony Volpe at this point in time was hitting 253. But he had a 687 OPS, which is the exact same he had. I don't know how he had the same exact OPS on July 4th, 2024 as he did as July 2022. That's 2023, excuse me. That's ridiculous.
It's an impressive lack of progression. It's incredible.
It's impressive consistency. I've never seen anything like it.
No, neither of us have. And I want to get to some of these.
That's
super
almost as
Slim
impressive
Lewis.
As Judge having a... at least 30 home runs with the last 4 years or whatever at this point in time.
It is pretty ridiculous. It's not nearly as impressive, though, as William Downer making his grand entrance back to Yankees Unloaded.
He's finally back.
William Wallace,
welcome back.
We were wondering
what the hell happened to you.
Yeah, we missed you, man. By the way, I know you probably didn't watch the show because, I mean, this is like days ago, but I did predict you were going to show back up for this series, so welcome in.
Yes.
Slim Lewis with a 5 says, happy 4th of July. I said this 3 weeks ago and you disagreed, which is fine. We'll discuss it right now. Volpe
yeah.
is a utility player / backup type talent on a great team, not a starter. So I don't remember arguing whether or not Anthony Volpe was a starter. I really don't. I have no problem putting my hand up when I'm wrong. I mean, Jake can yeah. attest to this, and I know Jake's the same way. But Anthony Volpe is not a starter for really any contender at this point.
When he was hitting 250, we were okay with him starting in the 7 hole. He's not hitting 250 anymore. And he doesn't have an OPS that I'm
the 8 hole. I'll hide him in the 8 hole, actually.
Well, I agree. But
I can't even have him
hit
the 7th. Yes, I do. Essentially, we were agreeing. He's a bottom of the order bat that is not going to get any better. He is what he is. He's a 7-9 guy in your lineup. And even putting him 9th is a bit ridiculous and overzealous. But that's when the glove's going. But you know what was happening a few weeks ago? Anthony Volpe was probably league average defensively. No longer the case. You mentioned the analytics. Jake, we look at it every single day on this podcast, and we're not analytically driven, but we will take a look. Anthony Volpe's numbers, remember the arm, right? 35th percentile, roughly. Right, approximately around there. Remember the glove talent or the errors? Yeah, that stuff's going further left, further into
yeah.
the blue. You mentioned this before we went live. His numbers analytically are worse. So when Michael K brings up maybe the struggles offensively and just all this stuff, he's bringing it out with him on the field. Maybe that pressure is getting to him. It should. If you can't handle pressure, why are we talking about a player being the starter for any New York team? Why? If you can't handle pressure, it's difficult to perform under pressure. It is. There are plenty of jobs in this world. If you fail under pressure, you're going to go be a brain surgeon?
No.
They're going to tell you it's understandable that you've got to save this guy's life. You got to save her life. But you know what? You're not going to get hired unless you can deal with it. Anthony Volpe right now is showing us I can't deal with this, even at 24 years old.
No.
And so now the Yankees should look at these results, look at how he's responding, and then get proactive. And Slim brings up that he doesn't think that he's a professional player or a starter. He's not right now, and I think the Yankees need to get busy.
Yeah, I've actually talked to a lot of people about this, off air, and it's surprising. Normally I come up with an idea to, like, send Anthony Volpe down to AAA, and I get the... you're being ridiculous. That, you know, but I'm actually getting more, I'm getting less pushback from it. I think people are finally starting to see, especially the thing that broke the glass, I think, for people was Josh Jung the other day. And that's why I brought it up. Because it's like, wait, whoa. All-star Josh Jung just got sent down by the Rangers? Yes, he did. And I don't even think he was playing that much poor. That I don't think he was playing poorly, considered to Volpe.
Clearly, they saw that development had to, there was development to be had.
And he's so 3 years older. Locate that.
Yeah, but at the same time, Texas probably looks at it and say, we're not going to win a World Series in 2025. Like, we have no chance.
That's
so
true.
Perhaps that goes into it, maybe. Like, if the Yankees were 15 games under 500, is Anthony Volpe on the big league roster? Maybe not. Because maybe it doesn't matter if you have your best option out there to field a ground ball. Maybe not. So, I don't know. This is tough. I think Anthony Volpe is going to get traded this offseason.
I actually do too, and I didn't think that until you told me about arbitration, and I just don't think they pay him. I don't. And I will say this, in Anthony Volpe's defense,
he is
actually prone to really struggling in July, and then apparently August is actually his best month.
He is cheeks in August.
See, if he is, to me, there's no excuse.
I guarantee you he's terrible.
Think about this. This is the end of Anthony Volpe if he's bad in August. That's his his saving grace. Understand this, Gary, okay? Yep. 742 OPS in April / March, okay? 706 career in May. June, 640. July, 619. August, 783. And then September / October, 458. So
what
here's
if he
the deal.
Is what if he's dynamite in that month and his ops is 800 and then again his career numbers show he's going to go dynamite and then fall off a cliff the last month of the season? What if he does that? Is he still safe on your roster?
I mean, not mine, but I think the Yankees.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we're going to watch him next month. He's probably going to be butt cheeks, but if he's great and he was horrible the month before that, right?
That's why you send him down right now.
Does
send him down right
matter?
Now.
Right. Does it matter what he does next month? Not really, because you are what you are most months. That's why this isn't personal. That's why when people say, why are you guys so hard on Volpe? It's because it took months for us to now have to throw this conversation at Anthony Volpe. That's what it took.
And let's be honest here. If I didn't care about Anthony Volpe and I wanted him to fail and I could not stand him, why do I want him sent down to AAA to have a shot? I would just say DFA him or trade him.
Yeah, get rid of him. Some other team would pick him up. Right?
But I think he has. Yeah, okay. I think he has tools. I'm not an idiot. I know the kid has tools. But he needs to, again, the first step to solving any problem is realizing there's a problem. And there is a problem. Anthony Volpe, even though he's been able to skeet by and had some opportunities and keep himself saving face, Gary, the one thing that I believe kept Anthony Volpe on track to at least kind of blend in. He still got, because we were critical of him last year, but not like this. We have to be, because guess what? Last year, he flattened his swing. So he didn't have the production, like as far as the slugging. He didn't have the home runs. But you know what he had? A 250 batting average.
Which
is a 240 batting average.
And we
it's mediocre
it as that.
But exactly. When you're hitting 240, 250, you're not going to have the entire fan base questioning you after every loss. But when you're hitting 222 and it just continues to go down and you're grounding into double plays that end rallies, end games, and they basically have to pinch hit for you when you were the top prospect, you were top five in baseball. Yes, it's gotten to the point where something needs to be done. I'm not saying I would go back to flattening his swing. I'm saying it's very simple. Go down to AAA. Have somebody try and figure it out, because I'll tell you right now, it is way too macro in the MLB. If you don't have it, they're not going to be able to help you develop. The only way macro works, in my opinion, is Matt Blake in the pitching. I feel like they are able to tinker with things on the fly. We've seen that. We saw it with the Phillies. They turned Jesus Luzardo into, they gave him like the best pitch in baseball. He didn't even have that.
How long did you send him down? By the way,
okay, so it's July 5th. Is it July 5th on your side of the world? Almost.
It's not. It's very close. But yeah, if you
we're
send
breaking
him
the
down,
space
let's
time
just
continuum.
Say, right? Let's say Anthony Volpe is sent down, right? for July.
I'd send him down all of July.
Just all of July, right? So he comes back. He's going to give you 2 months of baseball after that, right?
Yes.
So if he all of a sudden goes down to the minor leagues, they say, well, we change his stance a little bit. He does this, he does that. And then he shows up for the big leagues, right? Has an okay August, right? Has a decent September. Do the Yankees suddenly make a different decision? Personally, I don't. I just think Anthony Volpe, long term, even if the mechanics are fixed, even if he's a second baseman, that's what I see. Right now, I see
a second baseman
in Major League Baseball. Am I going to arbitration with my former first round pick over a second baseman who doesn't slug? No. Over a second baseman who can't steal me 30 bases if he's not slugging? No, I'm not. So Anthony Volpe, regardless, I would agree with you. The best thing for the Yankees is to send this guy down to the minor leagues, however long you want, just not 2-3 days. Just don't screw around.
No.
Send him down for an extended period of time where we can actually get a diagnosis and a fix, a tweak, and positive results down there, some confidence. This kid, when I say he's lost his confidence, I can't say I've seen nothing like it. We've seen what it looks like when someone loses their confidence. That's what that is.
He looks, you know what he looks like? He looks like that little league kid that got hit too many times in the batter's box and is putting his foot in the bucket and now doesn't even want to play the game.
The broadcast actually mentions his front side. Now, obviously hitting is difficult and they know this on the broadcast. It's not like they're naive to that fact. But when you see obvious mechanical issues and you say, yeah, his front side's just gone, that's actually what they say all the time. All the time. If you watch every Yankee game, and most of us do, I mean, you're listening to a podcast in the wee hours of the night, you do watch these games.
Yes.
They say every day, his front side's gone. His front side's gone. Yeah, you see that slider right there? I mean, he took it, which was a great take, but he couldn't have done anything with it if it actually stayed on the plate because his front side's gone. He's not going to be able to hit the baseball with any authority. If he hits it, it's going to be something soft serve to the other way. It's not going to be struck well. And the exit velocity and all the analytics display exactly that. He's not hitting the ball with authority at all, even into outs. So Anthony Volpe's a player, mechanically flawed. The Yankees haven't fixed it. They've let him essentially become a person. Jake, remember you said that practice doesn't make perfect, it's perfect practice, right?
And so if you're practicing the wrong things over and over again,
he's perfected mediocrity is really what he's done. They've just let him marinate in mediocrity. And then they're looking at this kid going, why can't you fix this? He can't because you guys, I'm not going to tell you it's just the Yankees' fault. It's not. He's the one playing. But yet Anthony Volpe looks the same as he did 2 years ago in the batter's box. He looks identical. He's the same player. And so it's Slim Lewis with
dropping
the
hands. I hate watching.
He says, and mind you, we're not going to protect. These are the numbers. These can't be debated. They're set in stone. They're on Baseball Reference. George Lombard Jr. and Slim Lewis, thank you for the two, says Lombard Jr. is hitting 203 in AA, going to be a few years. We never know. It could be a year. It could be that that's the thing about the major leagues and the minor leagues. The difference is that if you've got bad mechanics, you're not in a mode where you can't waste 2 or 3 days tweaking a stance, right? You can't, well, unless you're Volpe, you close your stance. I've never seen anything like it. But you see it, right? You see it with Jones. His stance is changing, and they make all types of tweaks. Why?
Oh, it changed, all right.
It changed. We want to see if this sticks. Now, mind you, if we had this exact same conversation about Spencer Jones coming into this year, you know what we would have said? I don't even know if this guy's going to make it. That was actually the takeaway.
He's hitting 286 now.
What was his... Do you remember when this year started? Do you know what you said to me about Spencer Jones? You said, Gary, do you know that actually his name is sliding down the prospect list, which isn't a death sentence, but it's an indication of something. Do you know what it is? It's of his numbers. That's what it is. So Slim Lewis brings up accurate numbers. You can't debate those. But having said that, tweaks, right? Some minor changes, all of a sudden results can drastically change at that level, especially at that age. And these guys are very impressionable. Would it surprise me it takes 2 years? No. Guys certainly take longer. But this kid is incredibly talented. He's got all the tools to play defense and rake. So I hope it's faster. I do. I want to see a shortstop at the big league level worth a toot. And right now we don't have that. So wanted to thank Jay for becoming a Yankees Unloaded member. Let's Jay, go. Welcome
Appreciate
in.
Appreciate you, Jay.
I wish Jay became a member and then dropped instructions on how to be a member, because I've seen so many people the past 3 days say, how do I become a member? And I don't know how to help them. But Jay,
it's below the, you see the box that we're in, it's below the box, the video box, and it should say a join. It should just say join. And if it doesn't say join, you can actually go on to our channel and there's a spot there.
It really shouldn't say join. It should just say become a member. Like, I don't know who creates this UI. Obviously your dad is a big UI geek as well. We both are.
Yeah.
Apex with the super, a mod of ours, thank you for the two, says, what if Dominguez bats behind Judge? I wouldn't. It just doesn't make sense to me. You need a veteran player that understands.
I want Dominguez on base with the speed when Judge is at the plate. You know,
I just don't think it makes sense.
If he gaps it, Dominguez is scoring from first. I don't care. So, I don't know. I will say this, because I do want to get to the bullpen.
Yeah, and then after the bullpen, let's talk Cody Bellinger. I want to talk extension real quick because, but let's start with that. Go ahead.
All right. So it pains me to say this. I'm in the car on my way to my folks' house and listening to the game. You know, because I watched the majority of it, but I was listening. Luke Weaver comes in and I'm like, I didn't have a good feeling about it, Gary. And here's the reality, okay? Luke Weaver, we don't know who Luke Weaver is. We know what he became last year, what he was last year. We know what he was at the beginning of the year this year. But coming back from the injury, there is a real chance Luke Weaver regresses to the mean. What is the mean? Okay, it's the average. He, for his career, and he's been in the league for 10 years, right? This is a guy that has pitched. He's been in the league for 10 years. He was on St. Louis, okay? He was on St. Louis back in 2016. And he actually was a starter for them in the rotation, went 7-11 with a 4.95 ERA and 136 and a third innings pitched.
I didn't know this.
Yes, I did. And this has been my thing about Luke Weaver, okay? He's 31. So it's not like he's super old, but there's this like rationale that he's this, like the way people talk about him, it's like he's already established. And I really don't want to take any credit from him, but look at the bullpen. Now that the warm weather's here, the bats are starting to heat up. All of a sudden, at the exact same time, this bullpen is falling off, and it's everybody. Okay, Devin Williams is the only one, and he just had a bad outing the other day. So, it's Luke Weaver. It's Mark Leiter Jr., who, by the way, this point in time, he wasn't even a Yankee yet. He goes to the Yankees, so who knows what we have waiting for us in August. But he went to the Yankees, and he was horrendous, right? So, Leiter. Then you have Tim Hill, who's supposed to generate soft contact, and I don't remember the last time he did that. Then you have Ian Hamilton. This bullpen sucks. It's bad. It's horrendous. I don't care what they've done the whole year. It's not good. They've been masquerading as this like good bullpen. I think they're incredibly overrated. And I think finally, Matt Blake can only do so much. When you just are taking, like, as you would call them, jabronis, and you're just like throwing them out there.
Matt,
like,
Blake is just showing up to a house fire with flex tape and just slapping it on there.
Dude, it's the meme, is it not? Like, I really don't want to. When I say they suck, I am not saying they suck like they're not good enough to be in the league. I'm saying they suck in combination with the league, like comparatively to the best of the best. The Yankees don't have a Super Bowl pen, and they don't have anywhere near a Super Bowl pen.
Well, yeah,
this is an organization.
They definitely don't have a Super Bowl pen.
This is an organization that had freaking Andrew Miller. They had Aroldis Chapman, right? I mean, Betances, right? They've had guys in the past. They've had you know, Tom Gordon. They've had David Robertson. They've had Mo, right? Right now, Devin Williams is the only one I trust. Why is that? That's the only guy I didn't trust at the beginning of the year. Now he's the only guy I do trust, straight up. And saying that I trust him is like kind of me stretching trust. So the point being is right now, what they're not telling you, although Paul O'Neill was basically trying to scream from the rooftops, the offense is hitting. We're getting on the offense. They're constantly being talked about during this losing streak, but the bullpen keeps giving up games. Now, yeah,
we're saying Dominguez is emerging. Judge is hitting. Yeah. Right? Bellinger's hitting. Stanton obviously is hot or cold. He hit a home run the other day, right? Yeah. Chisholm is hitting. Paul Goldschmidt's actually now starting to hit again, right? So when we say all these things, how are you guys finding ways to lose games? This group that you bring up is a major, major reason that that's happening. And by the way, I think with Luke Weaver, now mind you, this isn't set in stone. You may be exactly correct. We may never see Luke Weaver back to form. I'm going to make the assumption, genuinely, that I hate saying this. I do, because I feel like it's just excuse making, is saying that a player was rushed back. I'm just going to go back to what they told me when Luke Weaver got hurt. They gave us a time frame. He came back in less than half of it. Now, mind you, they told us, hey, our bullpen's starting to fall apart. Cruz has now gone down since Weaver's gone down, right? You see Williams overworked. You saw Leiter Jr. on the mound every single day, overworked. And the team is trying to figure out which young player can we call up and have out there in the seventh if we're down two or three, or if we're trying to preserve a lead. Who's going to pitch? And then all of a sudden, we didn't even talk about him. We didn't, because they gave us this long time frame for that hamstring. And next thing you knew, he was right back on the field. Just it's like true. Grisham was. Trent Grisham, they told us it looked really bad. And then what happened the next day? Oh, it actually is healing a lot better than we thought. He was on the field seemingly weeks before we thought he would be. Now, mind you, is Trent Grisham just running out there like Batman? Probably not. But he was limping on the field. Noticeable limp, right? Playing through something. There's something there. Now, mind you, doesn't that show you that it's possible Luke Weaver could be out there somewhat compromised to the point where he can't perform? I believe that, because I've watched Luke Weaver perform healthy for the Yankees for the past, really, year and some change, and he's been excellent. So why all of a sudden is he, not only is he, it's not like he's serviceable, he's atrocious right now.
Yeah,
I just don't buy it. I think there's something there. And mind you, right. Last thing I'll say, Anthony Rizzo played with a concussion for 3 months. And suddenly our training staff...
Who is on this training staff?
And our training... Who is... I'm telling you guys. Just like, it is literally George and Lenny from Mice of Men.
He has brain damage. Let's put him out there at first base.
Right. Like, why are they out there?
Put a helmet on him. You're all good.
I think it's clear as day. And this is not trying to make excuses, but Luke Weaver, he's given up home runs. We've seen him give up home runs to Big Christmas. It pissed me off in the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
We've seen him give up big hits, right? We've seen him
big 212 batting average.
But when you watch him on television, you guys watch it on YES, does Luke Weaver look the same? Like, ignore the results. Does he look like he's executing pitches in anywhere near the same form? I mean,
you got people going with the obvious. Big Christmas comment.
Big Christmas. I hated to bring it up. The Yankees rolled Rizzo out there and said, oh, we didn't know he had a concussion. You didn't know?
Well, a player they did the same thing with Clint Frazier, right? Like almost the exact same thing. And they ruined his career potentially. We don't know the whole thing, but still. What I want to say is this, though. Luke Weaver doesn't have amazing stuff. He never has, right? His stuff's good here and there. But really, it's that fastball.
Yeah, high spin rate.
Yeah, but the problem is when he's not locating, he's just a guy throwing hard. Like, that's what he is. So if that's the case, you know what that is? That's BP with some speed. Guys are going to tattoo those balls. They're going to. And so that's the thing is, like, when he goes up there and you're just, like, you're seeing... You're just constantly seeing him just like He's missing location.
That's
right?
More merch. We're going to have a Yankees Unloaded, and on the back, it'll just say tattooed balls.
You know, I knew it sounded wrong coming out, and I just kept going with it.
31 years old. I'm still not mature, so we'll see about next year.
It didn't help because Gary was laughing. I was trying to get through it. I couldn't. But here's the problem, though. Luke Weaver, he could end up, like, totally agree with you. And again, I know you don't like to make excuses. I think there's some rationale there. I do. But I also am saying that there is a real chance that Luke Weaver, it's not health. It's that he's regressing to the mean. It's that he's just, this is what happens. I mean, think about this, right? Do you know who was a significant loss for this bullpen? A guy who has a really high strikeout rate, best in the league. Oh, we're high on him, but he has a career over 5 ERA. That's who we're relying on. So this is my issue, is that I think it's actually rearing its ugly head here in July as the bats get warmer. I think we're starting to see this bargain bin hunting. It works when it's cold, right? Notice it happens after the trade deadline. Bats start slowing down, but then it seems like right around this time you have these issues. And I'm not just saying it's the weather, though. I'm saying you get what you pay for. You know, if you get that $10 charger on Amazon, it works just like any other charger, right? Except here's the problem. One, it damages your phone, especially because whatever the hell is in the thing. Two, after a while, it's a fire hazard. Three, after a while, it doesn't work as well as the other chargers. You get what you pay for. So to me, this is a public service announcement for the Yankees. Look at what you have right now. Look at how you got them. And just remember that come that the deadline. If you're thinking, yeah, we're going to cruise through this deadline. We're going to go and cruise. We're going to go. We're going to get a bunch of 5 ERA guys and turn water into wine. Look, I believe Matt Blake is capable of doing that. But my point is he can only do so much. That doesn't last forever. And when you have the ebbs and flows of a season, you also have that in play. So guys are going to struggle. But the guys that are going to struggle, like you look at Max Fried, what's his struggling? Oh, he gave up 4 runs today. That's his struggling. The struggling of a 5 ERA guy is, oh yeah, he got battered, bruised, and scarred, and he gave Delos meatballs level. Like he gave up 8 runs.
We're getting performance from 2 or 3 relievers every single year.
Yeah.
That when the season started, we would have looked at that name and been like, what is this dog water that's going to be gracing the mound? And then all of a sudden, you're talking about mid-June, and guys are saying, oh, look at that. He's actually somewhat reliable. You don't love the name. You can't even believe you're saying it, right? No. You can't believe that Cruz is missing bats at the clip that he is, right? You can't believe it. He wasn't doing any of this.
Scott Efros pitching in the friggin' a close game like this.
You cannot believe you're looking at Mark Leiter Jr. actually be a guy with an ERA sub-3, almost sub-2. And you're saying, how is he getting out? This is incredible. Look at this masterclass from Matt Blake. And he is performing a masterclass. He is. But by the time you get to June and July, right, and August, the bats start to figure it out. It starts to warm up. Well, some of those bargain bin guys that you were finding a way to squeeze and get output from, yeah, there's no juice left. All of a sudden, the broadcast is saying, well, yeah, we don't really know how they're going to get outs. Like, they pitched 7 guys yesterday. They're all just beat to a pulp. This starter in Rodon, and we're literally about to tee up that matchup, he's got to go length. We don't have a bunch of guys to pitch because they're all hanging on by a thread. And Jake, can you please read this super chat? Because I have no idea who we're referencing here.
I don't know either. Apex, thank you for the super chat. Volpe is the worst Italian ever since Fredo. Or Fredo. Is it short for Fredo?
I'm assuming this is like a movie that I'm not understanding the reference.
It's got to be, if it's a mob movie and I can't remember, I'm really going to, because
it's going to be.
My dad's going to probably be like, how did you not know what he was talking about?
I'm
like,
Apex, I almost wanted to skip the damn thing because I already know.
It's 3:08 a.m. Like, okay, like my brain's fried.
You could ask me at noon. I didn't know.
The Yankees are all that's on my mind right now. And I watched the Captain America 4 movie, so I have some of that on my mind too. That's it. Anything else you ask me, I'll be like, I'd have no idea. Izzy Devo, thank you for becoming a member. Really appreciate that.
So our instructions worked. Izzy, thank you for becoming a member. We really appreciate that. I'll throw the membership on as well. From Steven, thank you for becoming a member at Yankees Unloaded. Always love
right at
that.
The 3 a.m. mark, by the way.
Yeah, it is definitely late. And Joseph with the super with the 10. Joseph, thank you for the 10 and supporting our channel. Greatly appreciate it. Says, great call, Jake, on Dominguez power breakout prediction yesterday. Yeah, Jake had himself a little parlay today about the
power. I did.
And
because I just took my own advice and I was like, Juan Soto and Jason Dominguez, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. I said they're both going to homer. So I threw them down and had Aaron Judge total bases.
Godfather. Yeah, the Godfather. There you have it. And I've watched The Godfather.
I have not seen it. I still need to see it.
Very interesting movie. Like, you'll be at a wedding and it's not like today's traditional movies where you're at a wedding and they clip it and cut it and it's going to be a 4.5 minute scene.
Isn't it continuous? Like,
oh yeah, you're just moving from scene to scene. Like, you're literally, they'll just travel and you're just with them. It's
so wild. They use a dolly camera?
No, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying, they may. All I was saying is that it's an old school movie where if you're at a wedding, you're at the wedding. Like, you see that's everything. Cool. They're just moving around and it's
like
wild.
That.
It's great movie.
I mean, I heard it's the greatest movie of all time. So that in the 10, no, what was it? The 10 commandments? No. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. There's something.
I don't know. I've always been a huge fan of The Judge with Robert Downey Jr.
I did finally see that. Fantastic movie. And Robert Downey Jr. is a fantastic actor. So wasn't really surprised.
If you don't want to cry, don't watch the movie. Yeah, it's
that was sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely sad. But I want to move the conversation to Cody Bellinger. And it'll probably be our last topic. Unless, of course, our chat wants to discuss something else. Hopefully not Volpe. I'm ready for this player to be out. Not personal. I'm rooting for him to fix it somewhere else. Hell, I would even like him to fix it here. I'd love to have this Cinderella story, but it's just not looking like we're tracking there. But Cody Bellinger was a player, analytically, never got that big 10-year, 11-year, $350 million deal, right? He's won an MVP. He's got the track record to suggest. He's also got the agent to suggest aggressiveness. Mr. Scott Boris.
My
right?
favorite.
Your favorite. Well, Scott Boris is going to ask for every last dollar. And yet, Cody Bellinger couldn't find a way to get more than a 3-year deal. Now he's in Chicago. He's playing well. And analytics say that he doesn't strike the ball as hard as most other superstars, right? Or most other really good players in this league. You look at the Juan Sotos. You look at the Aaron Judge, the Otanis. Front offices are always looking at these numbers because they mostly tell the story. If a guy hits the ball really hard and often, he's usually a great offensive player. If he doesn't chase a lot, he's not going to slump. These are the type of numbers that teams look at. And yet, you watch Cody Bellinger, not everything he does is textbook. Sometimes it's ugly. It's going to be, okay, I get a bad call, right, on a backdoor cutter off the plate. This umpire is just hosing us. Most other players in our lineup would just whine all night, not make a single adjustment, and just turn around and say, that's a ball. Do you know what Cody Bellinger does? He slaps the ball the other way. And it's not sexy. Hell, it's not even really memorable. But it's memorable to me. Why? Because he doesn't slump. We told you guys, Cody Bellinger, while his numbers weren't great, they weren't. I couldn't sell them to you guys. I mentioned, and Jake did as well, these numbers are going to recoup. They are going to first bounce to 250, then you're going to see 260, now you're going to see 275, and he is going to continue to rise because his style works. His style is different than the rest of these Yankees, whether they're a great player or not. So I believe Cody Bellinger, I believe he's 31 at this point, might be 30, fairly certain he's 31. I'm looking at this player. He's got a player opt-in.
He's 25,
29 years old. He has a player opt-in for $25 million next year. He can opt into that. It's a lot of money. We're already paying him that. But having said that, if I'm the New York Yankees, I'm looking at this player, and I'm not saying I'm extending him because he's an all-time great or some superstar that's some must-have around baseball. But for what the Yankees struggle at, he actually brings a different flavor that the Yankees clearly needed. It's impactful. I try to bring back this player for another 4 or 5 year contract at similar money and see if you can lock that down. Because I love everything that Cody Bellinger does. He can play center. He can play left, the hardest defensive position at Yankee Stadium. He has no problem. If you send him to the bench, he's ready to play the next day. He can play first base for you if you go get Kyle Tucker. So this player, to me, is so valuable to what we do. I couldn't even imagine at this point not having him.
So I thought of a really good analogy to describe Cody Bellinger. I think you'll appreciate this because you're a golf fan. He has every club in his bag. Every club. He has multiple different swings, right? Like, I mean, he's got like 8 different swings. We've seen it all. Like, you know, he's got the half swing, like inside, like, you know, fisted off. He's got the one where he can just kind of, like, dude, he's just got so many different follow-throughs for different situations. Some people would say, why is he chasing? I don't care. If you put the ball in play and it's a single to left field, I don't care that he chased the ball. He has every club in his bag, every single situation. If you've ever played golf before, guys, the whole point of having different clubs is for different situations. I mean, he's got the sand wedge. He's got the putter. He's got the driver. He has got, you know, everything.
Juan Soto's got it, that as well. You see him just spray a ball the other way. It's
well,
not
he
sexy.
Doesn't. And this is why I'm going to say he doesn't. Because every club in your bag is not every swing. That helps. But it also is defense. It's also base running. It's doing everything.
True. Yeah.
In a way, Cody Bellinger is a poor man's 5-tool player. That's what he is. He doesn't hit 40 home runs anymore, but he is still capable of hitting the ball out of the yard. And you know what? I don't even like calling him a poor man's because this guy's probably going to hit 28 home runs this year, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. And he's going to be 24 to 28. He's going to hit over, I mean,
he's
right
gonna
now
hit 280, he's hitting 260. I think.
Yeah, I would say comfortably anywhere from 275 to 280. So you're talking about in today's game, the average batting average is 240. That includes the contact guys. It includes the power guys, right? Includes the outliers. So there are a lot of guys in today's game hitting 232. 232 with some pop. Cody Bellinger's pretty decent at everything. He can slap the ball the other way if a guy's throwing a gem. If you hang a ball, he can go into the seats. You saw him go into the upper deck.
Yeah.
He's a great elite defender, one of the game's best.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have to play one position. You saw Aaron Judge, who everybody calls a great outfielder. He is not. He's a great right fielder. That's the same case with most the overwhelming majority defenders in this sport. Just is. Cody Bellinger can play a Gold Glove left field. If he was playing out there, he can do that. If you want to start him in center every single day, he can do that. You want him to play first base next year? He was drafted in the 5th round to the Dodgers to play first base. He can play there. He played in high school, at my high school. He was a starting first baseman. He was the best first baseman I've ever watched. This kid, and I hesitate to call him kid, he's a grown man, he can do everything. And if you want to talk about utility players, the Yankees love talking about utility guys. How about bringing a utility guy that you can throw anywhere who's actually good at baseball? How about that? Maybe you should re-sign those guys. Maybe you should provide those guys. Rather than just loving the idea of spinning the block with DJ LeMahieu. He's like, oh, he can play third. I'm like, he can play it, but can he play it at a high clip? Can he do it well? No. Cody Bellinger's a mainstay, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would say he is the only 5-tool player that they have, because until Jason Dominguez develops the glove, he's a 4-tool player. But, I mean, still very important, but... Yeah, well, and also Jason Dominguez has to develop the power too. So, yeah, only Cody Bellinger. Well, actually, Jazz Chisholm, I would say too. Because, I mean, when he's playing second, he's one of the best defensive players, you know, in the infield.
This
honestly
is definitely true. And I want to throw this up on screen. It'll be the last thing. We won't talk about it for 20 minutes because, I mean, it's July 4th. We've got an early game tomorrow. We're not trying to give you guys a 2-hour podcast. We appreciate you guys late at night jumping in here. Make sure you guys subscribe, hit the bell. All you guys who have become members tonight, thank you for supporting Yankees Unloaded.
Thank you.
And we have a chat here from Sports Pod with LJ. It says, can you guys talk about Jazz not stealing of late? And this was actually brought up on the broadcast. He's not. You can't say he's going station to station because he's still incredibly athletic. You see that on the screen. But You know, do you think his defensive struggles are impacting his confidence to steal, or is he not 100% physically? Now, mind you, I have no idea where he's at physically. He's not giving us any indication. But I will tell you, if he's not running, you'd have to imagine it has something to do with health. But I will tell you, Jazz Chisholm's value really isn't so much to do with his legs and aggressiveness on the bases. It's really not. Jazz Chisholm has to become that 70% guy offensively with the bat. If you're going to hit Jazz behind a Stan or behind a Bellinger, if you're going to do that and there's traffic all over the bases, he's a run producer. Does he have the caveat of being able to steal a base when you really need it? Yeah, when he's healthy, and I hope he continues to get aggressive. Hopefully he's healthy. But Jazz's value is going to be putting the ball in play and wreaking havoc. That's all it's going to be. So am I concerned about this? No, because as time goes on, he'll get more acclimated and more healthy as we go. But yeah, to bring it up, Jake, I don't know how you feel about this. I think Jazz is somewhat physically compromised. It's just not a type of injury that's impacting the bat.
No, I would agree with that. I liked a few of his bats today. I thought there was one where I definitely thought he was going to get struck out, and did a really nice job fighting it off in the center field. I feel like Jazz is not 100%, but at the same time, you know, I think it's actually kind of a skill. You know, we've talked about it off air how like guys like LeBron James are just really good at putting themselves in a position where they don't get injured all the time. And then you have guys that just always get hurt, and you're like, why does that happen? It's like, well, why is he in that position?
Oh, Anthony Davis, he just runs under the rim and then he gets elbowed in the face. It's like, why are you just staring up at the rim?
Well, and he doesn't even just get elbowed in the face. Then he folds into an accordion and he's 6'11". So it's like, no wonder why you're hurt. And then when he lays it up, well, yeah, I'm not going to get into it. He was made out of glass. Whatever.
There are certain players on our team, clearly, who will be like, oh, I didn't know you wanted me to slide. And then they'll just go in and make some awkward tumble out of it.
So I know.
If you're going to be that uncoordinated or just like unprepared to go,
I don't even
base.
Want you in those positions. Like, I'll just, okay, fine. And that could be also the case with Jazz. Like, honestly, after the collision, they were probably like, we just don't even chance it.
I'm actually okay with that. What if he is being instructed to slow it down on the bases to maintain health? Yeah, that wouldn't bother me either. To be honest with you, his value, if he's hitting, I'm not going to complain.
But this
about
is what I'll say, okay? That, like how that's a skill for LeBron, it's also a skill to be able to produce at a decently high level as a baseline when you're not 100%. That's a skill.
It is.
Judge, for instance, we found out he had some back issue and he's hitting bombs. What? He had
Lindor's
two bombs.
Lindor's playing with a broken pinky toe. He got hit by a pitch against the Dodgers.
Freddie
June
Freeman,
fifth.
We're like, how is he hitting on his like that foot? And, you know, he came out and was like, yeah, I'm fine. But, you know, he wasn't fine. He could barely even play before that series. That was a problem. So it is a skill. I mean, there have been so many crazy injuries. I'll still never forget Rajon Rondo playing an entire overtime for the Celtics. I think it was the Celtics after he tore his ACL. Entire overtime period. Yep. I was like, and you knew it. Like, he didn't like look normal. Like, the leg was hanging on by a thread almost. But yeah, they're just, some guys are just built different, and you know, they step up and they play the trooper role. Right. And I think that's what Jazz is kind of doing. His ability to still produce when you can tell he's probably not 100%. I like that. So in the comment section, let's do this. I said I have never seen it. I need to. The Godfather, I was told, is the greatest movie of all time by multiple people. And I've read like all these articles that would suggest it's the greatest movie of all time. But put in the comment section what you believe is the greatest movie of all time. Okay? You personally, there's no wrong answer here unless you say Jeepers Creepers, because that got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. And yeah, it's just, I hate Jeepers Creepers, so don't say that. But anything other than Jeepers Creepers, by all means, we got a Reservoir Dogs. Michael Madsen just passed, so RIP. But
I'm going Click. It's not the greatest movie of all time, but I just wanted to talk about it. Great movie.
That's
fair. Adam Sandler. You don't expect to cry. You cry. Great movie.
Coming to America, Shawshank Redemption. Oh, I should have also specified that we want you to put these in the comment section so they show up and the algorithm takes them and they're like, oh, okay, there's interaction on this video.
Guys are just going to disappear right into the ether. So when the video's done being live, hop in the real video, I guess, and drop your favorite movie. Jake, anything else?
So I'm going to say hit the thumbs up button before you go. Mm-hmm. 100%. If you don't hit the like, YouTube is going to assume all you awesome people that watched a video to this conclusion at 3:23 a.m. on the East Coast didn't like it. They're just going to, they probably assume that you hate it. You were just hate watching.
So ooh,
you
got Shawshank Redemption's a great
you
one.
You got to hit the never seen that, thumbs though. Up in order to
everyone
to let
told
them know.
Me it was a great movie. I never watched it.
Yeah, I
think it's
seen
my
that
homework
either.
Assignment this weekend. I'm going to watch Shawshank Redemption. I'll let you guys know what I think. And then, of course, guys,
I gotta see the Godfather.
Subscribe, I know, and like this video.
I'm going to go with Oppenheimer. That's the greatest movie that I've seen.
Wow. Okay.
it blew my mind. I don't know if you saw it, but I thought it was fantastic.
I did see it. I honestly didn't even understand what they were talking about half the movie. I really didn't.
That's so funny.
As soon as they went into the lawsuit, I'm like, I looked at my wife. I'm like, what are they even talking about right now? They're arguing. Yeah. Anyways, I already did my outro. I'm cooked.
Yeah. All right. So again, end of this, after this, okay, when this ends, in the comment section, not the chat, comment section, also hit the thumbs up button. I only see 60-50 something people in here. Be sure to hit the like button on your way out. But also, when this ends, comment section, the greatest movie of all time in your opinion. All right. And like the video.
Yeah.